Monday, September 15th. Memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. The first reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth, I am not lying, teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Haydock Commentary. If men's intercessions to God in favor of others are no injury to Christ as our mediator, how can it be any injury to Christ for the angels and saints in heaven to pray or intercede to God for us? St. Augustine writes thus, "By supplications are meant what are said before the consecration. By prayers are meant what are said in and after the consecration and communion at Mass, including the Pater Noster, which, St. Jerome also says, our Lord taught his apostles to recite at the daily sacrifice of his body. By intercessions are meant what are said after communion, and by thanksgivings are meant what both the priest and people give to God for so great a mystery then offered and received. Upon the happiness of the king generally depends that of his subjects. We pray for the emperors, says Tertullian, that God would grant them a long life, a secure throne, and a safe family, brave armies, a faithful council, and a just people. We pray that he would grant them peace and whatever else they could wish, either for themselves or their empire. God wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. They who teach that God willeth only the salvation of the predestinated, of the elect, and as they say, of the first begotten only, and that he died only for them and not for all mankind, contradict this and other places of the Scripture, as well as the tradition and doctrine of the Catholic Church. If it is the will of God that all and everyone be saved, and no one resists or can frustrate the will of the Almighty, whence comes it that everyone is not saved? To understand and reconcile diverse places in the Holy Scriptures, we need to distinguish in God a will that is absolute and effectual, accompanied with special graces and assistances and with the gift of final perseverance, by which, through his pure mercy, he decreed to save the elect, without any prejudice to their free will and liberty, and on the other hand, a will which by the order of providence is conditional, and this not a metaphorical and improper will only, but a true and proper will, by which he hath prepared and offered graces and means to all men, whereby they may work their salvation. And if they are not saved, it is by their own fault, by their not corresponding with the graces offered. It is because they resist the Holy Ghost. If in this we meet with difficulties which we cannot comprehend, the words of St. Paul in Romans 9:20, O man, who art thou who repliest against God, may be sufficient to make us work our salvation with fear and trembling. There is one mediator of God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a redemption for all. Take all these words together, and we may easily understand in what sense the Apostle calls our Savior Christ the one or only mediator. That is, he is the only mediator who at the same time is our Redeemer, the only mediator who could mediate betwixt God, the person offended by sin, and men, the offenders, the only mediator who reconciled God to mankind by his incarnation and death, by the infinite price of his blood, by his own merits, independently of the merits of any other. All Catholics allow that the dignity and office of mediator in this sense belongs only to our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, made man to save us. The sense then of this place is that as there is but one God who created all, so there is but one mediator who redeemed all. But yet the name of mediator is not so appropriated to Christ, but that in an inferior and different sense, the angels and saints in heaven, and even men on earth, who pray to God for the salvation of others, may be called mediators, intercessors, or advocates. And we may apply ourselves to them to pray, intercede, and mediate for us, without any injury to Christ, since we acknowledge that all their intercession and mediation is always grounded on the merits of Christ our Redeemer. The same word for mediator in the Greek as well as in the Latin is given to Moses, God's servant. See Galatians 3:19 and Deuteronomy 5:5. The words of our Savior in Matthew 23, taken according to the letter, contain an express prohibition of being called masters or fathers, and this reason is given, because all men have one Father in heaven, and because Christians have one Master, Christ. Yet no one can justly pretend from that in a different sense, a man may not be called father or master without any injury to God or to Christ. Christ is the one and only mediator of redemption, who gave himself, as the Apostle writes, a redemption for all. He is also the only mediator who stands in need of no other to recommend his petitions to the Father. But this is not against our seeking the prayers and intercessions, as well as of the faithful upon earth, as of the saints and angels in heaven, for obtaining mercy, grace, and salvation through Jesus Christ. St. Paul himself often desired the help of the prayers of the faithful without any injury to the mediatorship of Jesus Christ. If there be other mediators among the angels and saints, they are only so in subordination to Christ, who by themselves have no right to mediation or favors, and who cannot demand them but through the merits of Christ, who is our only essential mediator. The Gospel from Luke chapter 2, verses 33 through 35. Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Haydock Commentary. Christ came for the redemption and salvation of all men, but Simeon prophesies what would happen in consequence of the willful blindness and obstinacy of many. Not that God sent his Son for the fall of any man, but that many, by their own perverseness, in willfully refusing to receive and obey him, would take occasion of falling. A sign which shall be contradicted. This signifies that Christ and his doctrine should be, as it were, a mark against whom the Jews should discharge the arrows and darts of their malice. Thy own soul a sword shall pierce. These words, which figuratively express the grief of the Blessed Virgin Mother when present at the death of her son, are to be taken by a way of parenthesis. That out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed, and these are to be joined with what went before, to wit, that the child shall be a sign of contradiction set unto the fall and resurrection of many, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed and disclosed, when some shall believe and others remain in their obstinacy. Venerable Bede and many others understand this of the sharp sorrow which wounded the soul of the Blessed Virgin at the time of Christ's Passion. Others explain this passage as follows. "Behold, this child is placed for a sign that shall be contradicted, which as a sword of most poignant grief will pierce thy soul, O Virgin. But Christ shall be contradicted that the thoughts of the Jews may be revealed from many hearts, and it may appear who among them are good and who are wicked and hypocrites."